Welcome to Health Connections, a show about people, health, and policy. I'm Brandon Hollingsworth. The flu is common. We know this. It's seasonal, happens this time about every year. More than 3 million cases are reported in the United States each year. But while we think of it as routine, it can also be deadly. Several people, including one child, have already died. That's in the first week of this year's officially defined flu season that began on September 30th. The flu is also highly contagious, and even if it doesn't kill you, it can be a real pain to put up with in more ways than one. So on this edition of Health Connections, we're talking about the flu and flu vaccines, ways to prevent the flu. Joining me, as usual, is Dr. Carol Myers of the University of Tennessee College of Nursing. Dr. Myers, welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here. My question for you, Brandon, is, have you gotten your flu shot this year?
You know, you're very professorial, and I feel like the student who hasn't studied for the test. I have not gotten my flu shot this year.
It's time. Go ahead and do it. It's best to get your annual flu vaccine before the end of October. But like many of my students, if you miss that deadline, you can get it even into January. But the sooner you get it, the better. So let's get with it. It's important to remember, too, if you have children, that children actually have to get two doses 4 weeks apart. So again, start early to give them the maximum amount of protection and time for the flu vaccine to kick in.
Well, as I said in my introduction, the flu is considered pretty routine. You know, I mean, most of us have had it at one point or another in our lives. It is a seasonal thing that happens usually in the winter months. So let's talk a little bit about the flu. Maybe we assume we know what it is and what it feels like. What is influenza from a health perspective?
Well, yeah, let's talk about that, maybe even from what it means to the people who catch the flu. It's a very contagious respiratory illness, and it's caused by a virus, the influenza virus. That's where the name flu comes from. You can have a very mild case. If so, you're one of the lucky ones. Or you can have a very severe illness. And that's really what we worry about the most. Serious outcomes of flu infections can result in hospitalizations or death. And what we see is people on both ends of the age spectrum are most likely to have those serious consequences. So we look at the very young, and we look at older people, as well as people with health conditions that put them at higher risk for flu complications, such as pneumonia. And that's really where we get into the concern about the flu being a killer.
I want to take a moment to compare the flu then to another seasonal malady, a cold. Let's compare and contrast the two, because I think some of us think of the flu as an annoyance, as something that knocks us out for a week or two. You miss some work, you take some medicine, the good old chicken soup and some bed rest. But the flu is not the same thing as the common cold.
No, it is not. And a lot of people have that misconception. The flu is different from a cold. It usually comes on very suddenly. That's one of the hallmarks of the flu. I felt fine when I woke up this morning and it hit me like a train. It can cause mild or severe illness, but when you hear about it, it's usually not mild. And like I've already said, sometimes it can lead to death. But here are some of the symptoms that are commonly seen. Fever. That's one thing that oftentimes differentiates flu from what people mix up as a cold. But not everyone who gets the flu gets a fever. Cough, sore throat, runny, stuffy nose. Now, those sound like they could be the cold. The body aches are more common with the flu than with a cold. Headache, chills, fatigue, and sometimes even diarrhea and vomiting. So the symptoms of the flu are more systemic. They're throughout your entire body and generally more severe than a cold, which tends to be pretty much above the neck.
To step back to the flu vaccine then for a moment, these vaccines are updated, I think, about once a year or even more to keep up with different strains of the flu. So what's new? I feel like a car salesman. What's new for 2018-2019?
Well, we didn't have the best match the past few years of what the vaccine was designed to address, which viruses. But we're feeling a little more confident this year that perhaps there's a better match. And one of the other things that's important is last year, we weren't able to use the nasal spray flu vaccine, which here in Knox County is used on school children and actually has contributed to an increased uptake of the flu vaccines.
There are, of course, myths and misconceptions around the vaccine as much as there are around the disease. So let's start out with how the flu vaccine works.
Well, this is pretty much for all vaccines, Brandon. When a disease germ enters your body, they start to reproduce. And your immune system recognizes this. They get a signal, uh-oh, invader on board. And they start to respond by producing antibodies. An antibody's job, first and foremost, is to destroy those germs that are making you sick, those germs that have entered your body. But they can't act fast enough, those initial antibodies, to prevent you from becoming sick. It's basically helping you for the next time you're exposed to that invader, that germ, that virus. So they help you get well, but they don't prevent the illness. So you're protected from future infections. They remain in your bloodstream and helps. That's why a lot of times with certain infectious diseases, we only get them once, chickenpox.
Because then your immune system develops a memory and can fight it off in the future.
Right. So vaccines is a way that we help that process. They offer a solution to the problem in that they help you develop immunity without getting sick first. So we try to...
It's a little shortcut.
Right. We try to be proactive. So they like a training course for your immune system. We introduce inactivated vaccines or vaccines that have just one strain of the virus. And usually the virus has three or four strains. And that one strain is enough to prompt the antibody production, but not to make you sick. So vaccines are kind of like a trick. Invader on board, the antibodies are made, but you don't get sick.
We, of course, are living in an interesting era after a couple of hundred years of settled vaccine science, not just in the U.S., but in other industrialized nations. And there's been a backlash in some corners for the safety and the efficacy of vaccines, even some inventions of concepts that they actually cause diseases like autism, which have been debunked. So let's talk a little bit about people who maybe don't want to get the flu vaccine because they think that's going to happen to them.
Yeah, there's definitely some spillover from the anti-vaccine movement, and this is related to the anti-vaccine movement related to children's vaccines, usually. And myths about vaccines, just like most myths, are very hard to dispel. I was amazed when I was looking at the internet at the number of anti-vaccine websites and how credible they seem on the surface. So people are willing to listen to Jenny McCarthy and some discredited scientists more than an overwhelming number of healthcare providers and scientists worldwide. It's hard for me to understand, but it is the reality, as you said. Unequivocally, in my mind, vaccines are safe and they save lives. Yet the percentage of U.S. children that under age two who did not receive any vaccines has quadrupled since 2001. So we have a real problem with this anti-vaccine movement, and it is spilling over into flu vaccines.
Well, let's take on a specific myth, and I've heard this almost my entire life. Can a flu vaccine give you the flu?
Yeah, that's one of the more common myths. The answer is no. They don't cause the flu illness, but the flu vaccine takes up to 2 weeks to be effective. So if you already had the virus on board or you're exposed to it during that ensuing 2 weeks, you definitely could get the flu in close proximity to when you had the flu shot. So you can understand why there's some confusion about that.
Okay, I hear that. But then why do I also know people, and I'm sure most of our audience knows people, who get the seasonal flu vaccine and they say, yeah, and I felt kind of cruddy for a couple of days afterward. What's going on there?
Well, that is a reaction to the flu vaccine. Usually it's mild. The most common side effects we see are soreness and redness at the site of the injection if you had the flu shot. Some people will even report low-grade fever, headache, muscle aches, and that's real. But if these reactions occur, they're usually right after the shot and they just last a couple of days. It's not the same as having the flu. They actually have done some studies to look at giving people either a placebo, saline, or the flu vaccine to see what the reported symptoms are. The major difference that they saw was people who actually had the flu vaccine did at a higher percentage report soreness at the injection site. As far as the other more systemic symptoms, fever, cough, those sort of things, there was no difference between the two groups.
Okay, so let's say, as I told you at the beginning of the show, I haven't had my flu vaccine. And I will tell you, I usually don't get the flu vaccine, and I also don't get the flu. What if I just take my chances here and say, you know, I didn't get the flu vaccine, I'll take my chances this winter, and if I get sick, I get sick.
Well, there's a flaw in your thinking there, Brandon. The direct benefits of a vaccine are obvious, and someone like you is doing the calculus of, well, I'm not high risk, I'm not real old, I'm not real young, I don't usually get the flu, why should I do it? But there's some other important indirect effects that need to be talked about, and this is the concept of herd immunity. Viruses that cause the flu are highly contagious. They can travel quickly through the community and make a lot of people sick quickly. We see that. We start hearing about during the flu season how many kids are out of school, how many people have been hospitalized, etc. But when enough people are vaccinated against a certain disease like the flu, the germs can't travel as easily from person to person, and the entire community is less likely to get the disease. This is called herd immunity. This means even people who can't get vaccinated, and there's certain people that shouldn't get the flu vaccine. They've got serious allergies, they have a weak or failing immune system like HIV/AIDS, maybe they have some other very serious chronic condition. By you being vaccinated, you prevent their exposure to the virus, which is very, very important, and help to prevent an outbreak. So here's a good example. In our lifetime, the pneumococcal vaccine has come into widespread use, and only recently was it approved for use in children. And we have seen now the number of older adults hospitalized for pneumonia has gone down, way down, because of vaccinating children. That tells us it works, and it also shows us the importance of herd immunity.
Okay, you've convinced me, and hopefully everybody else who's listening. I will get my flu shot here shortly, and we know that it's a good idea for just about anybody to do. But what else can we do to prevent the flu?
Great question, Brandon, because remember, even with a good match, the flu vaccine isn't 100%. Viruses replicate very quickly, mutate very quickly, so still prevention is the best strategy. And it's kind of like the guy who takes cholesterol medicine and thinks he can eat all the fat foods he wants. No, we still need to do preventative measures. So when we talk about the flu, there's several things that we need to think about. One is how the flu is spread. It's spread by droplets. So someone coughs, sneezes, or you touch where their germs from their coughing and sneezing have gone, you can catch the flu. So one of the first things you need to do is stay away from people who are sick. I mean, that seems pretty obvious, but sometimes that's very hard.
And if you yourself are sick, maybe stay home from work, don't send your kids to school, because that could create those contact points.
Exactly, exactly. So this idea that we go to work no matter what really is not good, not good at all. Now, unfortunately, and this is something it's hard for us to deal with, you can pass the flu to someone before you know you're sick. And while you are sick, you're most contagious the first 3 to 4 days, but some people stay contagious 5 to 7 days. What can you do? Wash your hands frequently. This is the time of year that you need to have your antimicrobial in your pocket, your purse, wherever. You need to be making frequent use of soap and warm water. And then if you do happen to feel like you're coming down with the flu, talk to your healthcare provider about antiviral medications. There actually are medications that are appropriate for some people during certain time periods, and that's something you need to discuss with your healthcare provider, but they'll make the course of the illness less severe. So, Brandon, you're going to go and get your flu shot. Well, I'm pleased to tell you that it's much easier today than it was. You can go to one of the minute clinics, or the clinics that we see popping up in drugstores and big box department stores, healthcare providers, some of the health departments in some of our area. The good news is many health insurance companies are now covering this at 100%. So some of the barriers that we used to see around availability, convenience, and cost, those barriers are being broken down. So next time I see you, I'm going to ask about your flu shot.
I don't doubt it. Dr. Carol Myers of the University of Tennessee College of Nursing, and thank you so much for joining us on Health Connections.